And it is good to be in the house of God today. Come on, we got a good Father. We got a good Heavenly Father. And man, it is an honor to speak the name of Jesus, an honor to live underneath the rule and reign of Jesus. Anybody happy for Jesus today? Come on. And I know that whatever comes against us, that in the end, you know, our God is going to return. Our Jesus is going to return, and evil will be conquered and it will be put in the abyss. Come on, somebody. And we'll live with our great God forever and ever and ever. I don't know what you're hoping for in 2023, but I am hoping and believing God for greater things. And I'm hoping and believing that God is going to do a work in and through our church as we continue to prepare our hearts for a great move of God in our community and in our city. I really believe that he wants to anchor us in our faith. He wants to just motivate us with our hope. And he wants us to continue to bind ourselves together with his amazing love. You know, the Bible says that love is the greatest of all things. And today we're gonna talk a little bit about that. And we're gonna be looking at a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And as we unify our hearts, as we kick off a 2023, I really want you to grab hold of how God wants to use you and use us together. Everybody say together. To do greater things. We're gonna be moving out of this location very soon. We're going to be moving over, hopefully sometime in the late summer, early part of fall, over to our new facility. Lots of things are going on over there. You're going to be hearing a lot about that throughout the next several weeks. As you begin to see the building going vertical, leaving the ground, going up in the air, you know, there's going to be a lot of energy, a lot of excitement. In our community, around our community. And I just want you to be prepared to speak Jesus into people because, again, we're not just building a place where we can just hang out, but we're building an environment where people can come to know who Jesus is, anchor themselves in their faith, and continue to shine for him in the community. It's going to be great, great things happening over there. And if you're not already a part of making that happen, we're going to give you the opportunity to do that with your resources, with your talents over the next several weeks. And again, we're looking forward to what God is doing over there. And so, again, we just want to prepare our hearts because, you know, we can have the greatest stuff in the world, but our hearts be tainted by the circumstances and the challenges of the world, and we can miss so much about what God wants to do. In reality, it's not about the stuff we have, it's about the heart we have in order to leverage that stuff to do greater things. And today we're gonna talk a little bit about our heart. If you have your Bible with you, I'm gonna invite you to open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, this passage was written to a group of people in the city of Corinth early on in the Christian journey. And Paul writes this letter to the believers there because there was a lot of confusion going on in the church as it started out. There was a lot of people in this society that was very, very competitive. Any competitive people in the room today? Come on. And they were very, very competitive. And so whenever they received the spiritual gift from God, they were misinterpreting basically what that spiritual gift was for. And so Paul writes them and says, look, I want to remind you that your spiritual gift isn't like the society you live in. It's not so you can be in competition with one another, but so you can be in community with one another, come on, and you can conquer the evil in the world. In other words, our competition isn't each other. We're to unite with each other and we're to come together with each other as a team. And our spiritual enemy is in the evil forces of the world. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, as the writer says in Ephesians. Come on. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against the dark powers in the universe. Now, the dark powers sometimes step into people's individual lives and begin to conquer them. But our job is to recognize the gift that God gives us in Christ Jesus, the spiritual gift, and then take that gift, put it together with other believers, and together, everybody say together, we reach out with that goodness to the world around us. The way you conquer evil isn't by going out and fighting, you know what, like just some kind of macho man. But the way you conquer evil is to put the good gift that God has placed inside of you, come on, together with other good gifts. And then we work together as a team to bring God's presence into the world. It's the human design. Come on. It's the way God has wired us. Stop looking at your neighbor as a competitor and begin to look at them as one you need to connect with, and then reach out into the world and begin to challenge a people on their journey to become as God has designed them to be. The writer writes this, beginning with verse 1. He says, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and of the angels, but I didn't love others, I would be a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. I'd just be a bunch of talk, is what he's saying. He says, if I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, and I possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be absolutely nothing. He says, if I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. He goes on to say, love is patient and it's kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no records of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. In other words, when the truth wins out, that's when love rejoices. Love never gives up. Somebody say to your neighbor, say, don't give up. Go ahead and tell them. It says, love never loses faith. Look at your neighbor and say, don't lose faith. Go ahead and tell them, don't lose faith. It says, it's always hopeful. Ask them what they're hoping for. Go ahead and ask your neighbor what they're hoping for. It's always hopeful. And it says, love endures every circumstance. Endures. Ask them what they're enduring today. Go ahead and ask them. Say, what you're enduring today? What you're enduring? That's what God's love does. God's love keeps on enduring. It doesn't say life is always fun, but what it does say is it keeps on pressing forward. What I've discovered in this journey, even this journey of moving across the waterway, is it takes great endurance. Because there's a lot of resistance against what God wants to do through us. There's a lot of opposition. There's a lot of fallacy. There's a lot of things that go on. There's a lot of things that go wrong. But what you have to do is get something in your heart that God wants to do in and through you, in and through us. Get that vision in your heart. That's what vision is. What does God want to do in and through you? Get that vision in your heart and never give up. Never quit, never pull over to the side. Keep loving the way God has designed you to love, and don't you quit. Endure all things and all circumstances. Keep on keeping on. He goes on to say, prophecy and speaking in unknown language and special knowledge will become useless. All that stuff's gonna become useless, he says, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when full understanding comes, these partial things will become useless. He says, when I was a child, I spoke and I thought and reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away the childish things. Now we see things imperfectly and in a cloudy mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. He's speaking of the future. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, But then I will know, then whenever Christ returns, then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever, he says. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And so again, the purpose of the writer writing this little short paragraph in scripture was simply to encourage the people to leverage their gift that God had given them and stop competing with their gift. They were in competition, and he says, you know what, God's love has touched your life for a reason. And the reason God's love has touched your life is not so you can be in competition with everybody else and say, look at my gift. God gave me this gift. I'm special. I'm amazing. I'm incredible. No, we're amazing. We're incredible. God has gifted each one of us in a special way. And he's basically saying, stop using your gift in such a way to promote your own self. He says, that's not how you use your gift. You use your gift in concert with others, promote the name of Jesus, and you know what? Love each other in such a way that God is known into the world. And so I just thought, you know, this passage really, really needs to speak to our heart. Because again, we live in a competitive world. We live in a world where lots of times, you know, people are just trying to get ahead of the next person. And there's nothing wrong with a little friendly competition. Nothing wrong with that at all. But when the competition begins to get in your heart and begins to elevate you above others, then you're really missing the purpose of your life as a human being. And again, I want to encourage you today, use your gift. And if you're a Christ follower, I want you to know, you need to anchor your soul in that. You need to anchor your soul in, you know what, you're not attracted to faith just to kind of hang out until God comes back one day or you die from this earth and go to heaven. No, no, no. You need to anchor your soul in. You got a purpose. And you need to let that become passionate inside of your heart, because that will really begin to give you life above all else. In other words, it will begin to help you be motivated every day to get out of bed, because it's not about your occupation and it's not about who you are. It's about what we're able to accomplish together. Come on. And again, sometimes we lose heart in all of that because we don't see our spiritual gifting properly. We're oftentimes thinking of our spiritual gifting as something, you know what, that's just for us, where it is for us because it helps us grow. Everybody's spiritual gift helps them grow in their faith, but it's also to help others grow in their faith and together us do amazing, amazing things. In other words, we're to be a team. We're to work together. And again, it's not about boasting in our gift, but it's also not about diminishing your gift too at the same time. He doesn't say that in the passage, but that's where people go sometimes. Oh, shoot. You know, I just can't do that because I would be being boastful. No, if God gave you the gift, you'd better step up and use it. Come on, somebody. That would be what I refer to as false humility. In other words, having a humility just so, you know, everybody else don't think you're proud and boastful or whatever else. And again, there's balance in all of that. But I see so many people today, you know, saying, well, oh, we shouldn't do this or we shouldn't talk about that or whatever else. And again, that's just a false sense of humility. Humility don't mean be everybody's doormat. It means be who God designed you to be.
That's right.
And recognize he gave you the gift. Amen. And use it for, you know, to do what he's designed you to do and be in the world. He's the one that gave us the gift. And how shameful it would be for me not to use the gift for his kingdom purpose. How selfish that would be for me not to use the gift he gave me to help build his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And again, you know, we have to recognize that God gives us a gift. And, you know, oftentimes that gift begins to be tainted. It begins to, you know, sometimes be kind of squashed out. It can get tired. all these various things. And I want to help us today in all of that with our spiritual gifts, and let's keep moving forward. You know, this past week, Kim and I were gone away for a few days, and we came back, and we were here this past week, and we went in the staff meeting. And as we went into staff meeting, we began to talk about the future of our church, and we began to talk about some of the things we're going to try to implement this year and do in our staff meeting, begin to talk about the move and, you know, kind of what's going on with all of that. And as we did that, some of the folks in the staff meeting began to speak about the future, begin to speak about, you know, kind of rekindling the vision, and how in some of the Bible studies, people had begun to speak about what it was going to take to get that move made and all that kind of stuff. And as that was being spoken about in our staff meeting this past Tuesday, I began to realize something. I began to realize that though I have a vision in my heart and I can see it, I began to realize how the enemy continues to try to snuff that vision out, and how he begins to, you know, kind of say, well, that's never going to happen, and I get tired. And I realize how tired of talking about this move I have gotten, and how much I don't, you know, oftentimes do it in the weekend services, because, you know, I'm just like, well, shoot, it's so slow, and, you know, I don't want to give false information to people, and I don't want to give people false hope, and, you know, say we're going to do this whenever, you know, COVID's going to hit, and the prices of whatever's going up, and we got to delay this because everybody's got a shipping challenge, and yada, 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 yada. And I'm like, you know, that stuff sucks. It really does. Okay? And I realized, well, I've kind of backed off of speaking what God's going to do and sharing that with the congregation, because it's just kind of being squished, and it's being, but it's happening. It's happening slower than we want it to. But God's began to, you know, say to my heart, no, you need to step back up and start speaking life to this thing again. And so, again, this is why, you know, this is so dear to my heart, because the staff helped me realize, no, don't stop talking about it. Don't stop sharing what God's doing in and through us. And again, it's not about another building. It's about what he's doing in the people. It's about what he's doing in and through us as a congregation. Don't give up. And I know some of us feel like, well, shoot, we're going to die physically before we see the thing happen, you know, here in this earth. And again, I just want to encourage you today. You know, this past week, they began to pour, when I say pour, the concrete for our stage area. This past week, they began to speak about, hey, Monday morning at 7:00, we should have boots on the ground. We're going to start erecting some of the steel beams this coming Monday morning. And again, there's a lot of things that's going to start happening over there. But what I want to invite you into over the next few minutes is to use your gift. And let's use it together to see God do amazing, amazing things. So I want you to look around, and, you know, there's several hundred people in this service. There'll be several hundred in the next service, all those kind of things. But I want you to see, you know what, even the seat that's full beside you, and I want you to see the seat that's sitting empty beside you. I want you to realize that there's people giving birth to babies right now today. There's people, you know, giving birth to your grandchildren, my grandchildren, somebody else's grandchildren and children that's eventually going to sit in those seats. Come on. And their life is going to be forever touched by Jesus. I want you to see the future. I want you to see that seat before you ever got in it. I want you to see that there was somebody praying for you to get in that seat, to be able to enjoy the good news of God and experience God. And you know what? If you have trusted Jesus as your Savior and you've been anchored in that, you're a part of something greater than yourself. And I want you to understand there's thousands and thousands and multitudes of generations to come that's going to sit in the chairs around you, in the chairs around me. And it's us together doing this thing where, you know what, this this community is going to be transformed with the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. And it's going to be spoken into them because you had the audacity to use your gift. And so it's about our heart. It's not about our gift. And a heart filled, you know, here according to this passage, it says three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. But a heart filled with faith gives us, I wrote it down this way, you know what, I've spoken this before, but this really speaks to my heart. But the heart filled with faith gives us the courage to use our gift. Come on. Gives us the courage to use our gift. See, a lot of people misinterpret what faith is all about. They got, I just need more faith. No, you don't need more faith. You just need to strengthen the faith you already have. See, because faith is it, you don't get more of it. The faith you have just gets stronger in whatever object it's in. So again, you can have faith and put it in the wrong object and miss so much about life. And again, but when you get faith in the right object, and by the way, the object of our faith is Jesus, come on. But when you get faith in the right object, understand that faith can be built and strong and strengthened in a powerful, powerful way. A lot like your physical muscle, okay? You don't get more muscles. You got the same amount of muscles you'll ever have. You know, you got a certain number of muscles, but those muscles can get strengthened and get bigger. You know what? Whenever you work those muscles out, no different with your faith. Faith is like a muscle. And when you put it in the right object, it can be strengthened and it can be built up. But the way it's built up in Christ Jesus is simply is walking and following him with your life. For instance, a big faith or more stronger faith is built by doing the small reps. In other words, you don't get your muscle stronger by not doing the reps. You get your muscle stronger by doing more reps, continuing to do the right things the right way. Come on. And do them over and over and over, having the discipline to continually do them. Because when you stop doing the reps and you don't have the obedience or the discipline to keep doing the reps, what happens is the muscle begins to diminish. Your faith in Christ Jesus is no different. And a lot of times people don't have the courage to do what God has called them to do, to step up and step out and step into great things, because they're not being actively obedient in the small disciplines of their life. See, there's something called spiritual disciplines. And spiritual disciplines are things like read my Bible, things like be actively involved in prayer. Things like, you know what, begin to be engaged with other believers. And how are you doing with the disciplines of the faith? How are you doing with those things? Are you repetitively doing those things over and over again? Coming to church. In other words, don't skip the gym. Come on, somebody. You can't just skip because you feel like skipping today. No, you have to have, it's called discipline for a reason. You have to have the courage and be disciplined, consistent over and over. It's not, you don't go to the gym based on how you feel. You go to the gym so you will feel. Come on, somebody. And sometimes we don't feel physically good or physically strong because we felt like not going to the gym, and we wonder what's happening, and it's working against us instead of working for us. This is what I want to encourage you in today. Is you want to have the faith and the courage to do what God called you to do, to step up and do big things. I don't know too many people that don't want to do big things with their life. The reason they don't do big things with their life is because they don't do the small things consistently. And you gotta be consistent in the small things in order for big faith to grow in your life. You know what? God will call you out of darkness into the wonderful light. And sometimes some of us get on fire about the gym of God, just like we do at the first of the year about going to the physical gym. You can't get in a gym the first part of the year. People are on fire and then they fade out. Why do they fade out? Because the honeymoon wore off. I want you to understand the honeymoon will wear off your faith too. The excitement. But that's where you got to have the courage to endure in all circumstances. You know, the Bible says three things last forever: faith, hope, and love. And you need the love of those around you to keep enduring. You need to have faith to keep enduring, because here's the deal. What happens is the enemy comes against our faith. The evil one comes against our faith, but how we conquer evil according to the Bible is not by, you know what, backing off when evil comes against us, come on, but it's by continually doing what is good. Not being afraid to do what is right. Not giving into culture just because it feels good for a moment, but we continually do what is right. Three things last forever: faith, hope, and love. And a heart filled with faith gives us the courage to use our gift to do big and great and mighty things. But also, not only do we need a heart filled with faith, we need a heart, you know what, filled with hope. Three things last forever, according to 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love. So what does hope do? Hope is the motivator. But see, faith and hope are threaded together. It takes all three, faith, hope, and love, in order to have, you know what, the strength to use your gift, or the courage to use your gift in a powerful way and not be competitive with everybody else around you, but be in community with them to use your gift. But you got to have, you know what, you got to have hope. You got to have hope in the future. And again, hope is the motivation. But hope will also, you know, leave you sitting still if it's not tethered with faith. Faith is kind of like the action of what your hope is in. The Bible says it this way. What? It says faith is basically what in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, faith is a confidence of what we hope for will actually happen. And so, again, you got to have hope for the future. But what happens is some people are hoping for things just to happen today or tomorrow, where our hope is in the finished work of Christ, and get this, in the return of Christ. That's where a lot of people miss it, is we're hoping, we're looking to the glorious future in the hope of Christ's great return. Come on, somebody. As it says in Hebrews chapter 10, we spur one another on towards loving good deeds as we see the day of the Lord approaching. In other words, we see this day getting closer and closer and closer and closer, where evil is going to be put in the abyss. And you know what? Though evil exists in the world today and we're fighting against it, our hope isn't in today, isn't in tomorrow, but it's in the day our Lord Jesus Christ will return. Come on. And so we believe that he conquered the penalty of sin on a cross. We believe, according to God's word, that he rose 3 days later from the grave to conquer sin. So sin no longer has control over us or power over us, but sin still exists in the world. And the Bible says he's going to return. And the Bible says he's going to return and he's going to put sin in the abyss, all evil away forever and ever. And we won't even have to worry about it. We won't have to focus on it. We won't have to be around it. And what our focus is on is when he returns. We keep on going. We keep on enduring. We keep on pressing on. And yes, there's sickness, there's happenstances, there's circumstances, there's all kinds of things that come into our life. But our faith is in Christ Jesus, the one who resurrected from the grave and ascended into the heavens and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And we believe, like we believe as much as we're sitting here today and gathered here today, that he's going to return. Come on. We believe it with our heart, and our hope is in that. I hope I have a good day tomorrow. I hope for fantastic health. But ultimately, you know, that's not what my faith is built on. My faith is built on hope in Christ Jesus. and what he's already done on a cross and what he is going to continue to do and what he's going to do as he returns. And again, when your hope is motivated by that, then things begin to change about your faith. In other words, you begin to be faithful and you get back up when you fall down, because your hope wasn't in the falling down. Your hope was in, you know, being able to get back up and keep on moving, because you know that great day is out in front of you. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior is still out in front of us. And again, it's having a vision for the future. It's having a vision for your loved ones' future. It's having a vision for your community's future. And though it can seem very dim and very dark, remember that Jesus resurrected in the darkest moment. And Jesus come back from the grave. And have you ever thought about why he resurrected from the dead? I mean, it's to give us hope beyond the darkness, beyond the separation, beyond the death itself. It's to help us recognize that the enemy doesn't win against humanity. If we put hope in Christ Jesus, he's the firstborn. He resurrected so we could have hope again, so we could begin to have hope in a future, hope in the newness of life that God comes to give us. And so again, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us, don't just be a competitor and be in competition with other believers, but be in concert with other believers, and let's keep the faith and let's, you know, stay motivated. And the last one is this. He says, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. I wrote it down this way. Love gives us the compassion. Love gives us the compassion to leverage our gift. Because without the same love that Christ Jesus had for me, then I won't leverage my gift to help others know the same God that I know. In other words, love makes your gift sacrificial. Love begins to make you leverage your gift in spite of what's going on around you. And a heart filled with love gives us the compassion to leverage our gift and never, never give up. You know, Jesus, it was the love that he had that allowed him to leverage all of himself for all of humanity. It was the love he had for you and me while, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, that drove him to use his gift of perfection and allow it to be nailed to the cross for the penalty of humanity's sin. It was love. He saw you. He saw me. He saw us in the middle of all of our screw-ups. Come on, somebody. And he loved anyway. He had the compassion to go to the cross. It wasn't because of your perfection or my perfection. It was because of the love he had. Love is the greatest of all, because love gives us the compassion to keep on keeping on when everybody else quits, when everybody else gives up. It's the love for the things God loves. It's not just to love somebody because you like me. It's the love because God first loved me. And to realize that same love is working in me and working through me. It's working all the old out and it's working all the new in. And again, you do a lot of things that cause me to be upset with you. I do a lot of things that cause you to be upset with me. But see, love conquers all. Love conquers all, because what love begins to do is help you not live in your emotion, but love begins to help you live from your heart. And so many of us are driven by emotion, circumstances, and challenges. And my friend, when the love of God gets in your heart, you fight through the emotion. You fight through the circumstances. You're courageous. and you begin to realize that it was God who first loved me, that allowed me to be a person of his great love. I don't love because you deserve it. I don't love because I deserve it. I love because God first loved me. And out of that great love is a spirit of love that he has given my heart. Because humanly speaking, it's impossible for me to love, you know, like God loved, because we're driven by circumstances and challenges and feelings. And the Spirit of God is the only one that can make your spirit come alive inside of you, to give you the power to love through the differences, to love through the difficulties, to love through the challenges. And I want to encourage you during this season, if you're a person that sin has tainted your heart and tainted your gift, and you're holding your gift back and you're not leveraging your gift in the community of God, I want to encourage you this season to consider the love that Christ Jesus showed to you first. Understand why he went to a cross. Understand why he defeated death and resurrected from a grave. Understand his current position now and what his future position will be. My friends, you know, he came the first time as a suffering servant full of great compassion and great love. That's why he went to a cross, because we were all sinners and we needed a great God to step into our life. He defeated death, he rose from the grave, and right now the Bible says he sits at the right hand of God as an intercessor, as one who is there as your advocate and my advocate. As the Holy Spirit works in our life, he is sitting at the right hand of the God, the Father, and reminding the Father, look at my compassion and my great love. Come on, somebody. And don't look at their sin. My friend, but the Bible speaks of him as a returning king. And he's sitting right now in the throne room beside the Heavenly Father in the heavenlies. But my friend, he's coming back as a conqueror. He came the first time with great compassion. But when he comes the next time, make no mistake about it, he's coming with wrath and he's coming in fullness to put away evil in the abyss and rise up his family and us who are believers in Jesus Christ to live with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. He's coming back the second time as a great conqueror. The Bible speaks of him as coming like a warrior. The Bible speaks of him coming, you know what, against the enemy of your soul and my soul. And he's coming, and he's coming hard. And my friends, I want to be, you know what, on his heart and in his family. I desire for you to do that too, because I don't desire, neither does God, for anyone to receive the wrath of the Almighty and be put in the abyss. And so, you know what, every person, people can say, well, God's, you know, sending people to hell. No, God's not sending anybody to hell. As the reality of it is this, is God is patiently waiting for all people to respond to him by faith. And we speak the word of God into existence. And you have the opportunity to accept it or reject it. But our great Savior and our great God is going to return. And the question is, are you going to be found as one who is faithful and in love with God? Or one who is separated and deceived by the enemy? My friend, deception doesn't have to happen. What begins to happen in your heart today can begin to grow. Your faith can begin to grow. Your motivation can begin to grow. And the love can begin to grow. But you have to actively engage yourself in what God is doing by faith and trust him in a great, great way. And then begin to see what God can do. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. I thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl here. God, I thank you for the people underneath the sound of your word today. And God, I pray today that no one would leave this place paralyzed by the evil one. That God is, you know, the evil one does exist and the evil one is a great deceiver. God, I know that you are the God who is more than a conqueror. I pray today that people by faith would understand the love that Christ Jesus came into this world with. And God, they would receive the prompting of the Spirit of the living God that is touching their heart right now, and they would respond to your love gift by faith. My friend, what it means to trust God is to trust his gift of salvation that's found in Christ Jesus. He was the perfect one. And today, if you need to put faith in him and him alone, you just say, God, today, I recognize that I'm a sinner. And today I want to trust Christ in the gift that he gave me on a cross. And I want to trust it by faith that he did that in order to salvage me, to restore me, God, to build me up to be who he has designed me to be. Say, God, I want to trust the death, the burial, the resurrection today with all of my heart. And God, I want to look forward with hope to Jesus' great return. Tell God thank you for the gift. And tell God today you want to actively involve the spiritual gift that he gives you, the talents he gives you, in order to build his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. God, we thank you today. And we want to be your church that begins to reach out to your community with your great love. In Christ Jesus, we pray today. Amen.